We're going to see him. It's a promise and it's a fact. We're going to see Jesus. Thank you, choir. Did a good job. And let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 13, if you would, please. 1 Kings chapter 13. And the title of this message is Do What You Were Told to Do. We hear that, you know, we tell that to our children. Children hear it all the time. Why don't you just do what I told you to do? And when they don't, something always goes wrong. We told them exactly what they need to do. They might not understood why, but young children, they don't need to know why. They just need to do what they're told to do. That's what we want. We live in a society today that many people don't do that with their children. They just, I can't do anything with my kids. They just don't listen. And, you know, there's a lot you can do to fix that. But we're going to talk about today just doing what we're told to do. The children of God hear this all the time from God's word. The Father is telling his children, just do what I told you to do. It's that simple. And sometimes as children of God, we ask, well, why, Lord? Why do I got to do it this way? Why do I got to do it today? Why do I got to? And we just start questioning God and his word and wondering, you don't want your own children to do that. Why do we do that to the Lord? Why is it that we can't just do what we're told to do? It's that simple. And we just don't get it. But I believe every person can stay obedient to God by learning the lessons we see here in 1 Kings 13. It's a very interesting story. We're going to read a lot of it. So just stay with me, and then we're going to come back. So I want you to get the story down, and then we're going to talk about it. So we're in the times of the kings, and Jeroboam took over as king, and just the 10 tribes, not all of them. And he was not doing right in the sight of the Lord. The main reason, when you go back and look, is because he was he thought he might lose his people if they went back to Jerusalem to do the worshiping like God told them to do. That, you know, his people may stay in that kingdom, decide they like that king better than me or something. So he was jealous and he was upset. He didn't want people to go and leave the kingdom just to do that. So he tried to establish his own worship in his own kingdom, which was contrary to God's word. So that's where we're at. So in verse number 13, it says, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. Bethel just means the house of God, by the way. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. Now, this is, again, not what he's supposed to have been doing. And he was trying to force the people to do this as well, because he was telling them, you don't need to do all that. You can just stay here and worship God. Why go all the way over there? Same things people say today. Why go to church and worship God? I can just worship God at home. Well, just listen to this story and see if that still applies. So verse number 2 says, and he cried against the altar of the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent or torn, and the ashes are all that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard these sayings of the man of God, which he had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold of him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so it could not be pulled in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand restored unto him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I cast bread nor drink, eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. And he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. These words, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? And his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which he came from Judah. And he said unto the sons, saddle me an ass. So they saddled him an ass, and they rode thereon. And he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said unto them, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me that by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee unto thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in the house, and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back, and hast eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread, drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drank, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him in the way and slew him, and the carcass of was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion stood by the carcass. And behold, the men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it to the city where the old prophet dwelt. We're going to stop there. There's some more to the story that you can read on your own. But what we want to see here is how we can be obedient and stay obedient to the Lord. The first thing we notice here in the first few verses is that God warns the king. He tells them, tells the man of God to go down and warn the king. He was given Jeroboam another opportunity to repent. Now, Jeroboam was not following God. He was causing the people to sin. He was burning incense. He was drafting, as you read later in the story, he was drafting priests that were of low estate, the people who could never qualify in God's eyes to ever be a priest. He was using them to make offerings and burn incense to other gods in other ways other than what God commanded, because he didn't want to lose the people. He was doing it for selfish reasons, and he caused the people in his kingdom to sin. And God saw it, and he could have just killed him right then and there for disobeying, but he gave him another opportunity, which I'm so glad that God does for all of us, and gives us another opportunity to repent. And he sends the man of God down there to tell them the words of God. And God's doing the same thing today. He has people all around the world that he's telling through the men of God, telling the people of God, the word of God, that they may repent and get right with God. And a lot of them refuse to do so. But God always gives us another opportunity. Jeroboam tries to restrain the man of God. When he hears what happens and he sees what's about to happen to the altar, he puts his hand forth to take hold of him because he was going to do him harm. But God always takes care of the man of God. And nothing was going to come upon him that God didn't want to happen. And his hand withered. And that's the way it is today. We have to remember that it doesn't matter who it is that's in the pulpit. If they're a man of God, we ought to respect the position he has as the man of God and not put our hand forth to them to try to do him harm, whether it's verbally, physically, or spiritually, because God is going to have the ultimate say in the matter. He will never allow people to hurt the man of God purposely unless he wants something to happen to that person like he did later with this man. But it was a completely different story. Had nothing to do with the king. It happened to do with his obedience. And today there's many people that have no pastor, churches that have no pastor, because some of the people in there have basically crucified that pastor and his family and caused so much harm and hurt that no one can stand there and preach the word anymore because the people are out to get every person that tells them what they don't want to hear. That's horrible. But here we see the man of God comes down because he's warning the king, tells him what's going to happen, and exactly what God said was going to happen, did happen. And then when Jeroboam sees his hand, of course, he was repentant to the man of God and said, could you please pray for me so my hand won't stay this way? And God had mercy on him and allowed his hand to come back to like it was, even though he was meaning bad intentions with that hand. But God always will bring his judgment and his mercy. And here we see both. We see the judgment of God upon Jeroboam and telling him that he's going to lose his kingdom to another one that's been born called Josiah. And that's exactly what happened. But he also has mercy on the king, allows him to keep his life and restore his hand even though he was in sin. And that's just the first half we see. God is always there to give us judgment and mercy. But also the second thing we see is not only God warns the king, but God demands obedience. God demands obedience from all of us. But here we see this man of God. Now, it's important for us to understand that in this story, we don't know the name of the prophet that came from Judah. He's just called the prophet of Judah. And we don't know the other man's name. He's just called an old prophet. And the reason why we don't know their names is because it's not important to what God is telling us today. It doesn't matter what their name is. It matters what they do. And what these two men were both prophets of God that supposed to have been following God. One, we don't know his age. The other one just says an old prophet that was there living in Bethel. And their names aren't mentioned, but it says that the Judas prophet was given the word of God and was told exactly what he needed to do. And one thing we learn from that is God is always clear on his direction for us in his word. If we read it, it is always clear. If it's not clear, there's something wrong with us, because God is never going to try to bring confusion to how we need to obey God. The devil is the author of confusion. That's what the Bible says, not God. God is always clear with exactly what he wants you to do, how you need to do it, why you need to do it, and when you need to do it. It's perfectly outlined. And the man of God from Judah began his journey and did exactly what God told him to do. And then he left exactly like he's supposed to have. He was on the right track. All he needed to do was obey God. And God told him exactly what he needed to do. But then we meet this old prophet who intervenes. Now, why did he intervene? There's probably a lot of different reasons. You know, he was in Bethel. He heard what was going on. His sons told him what was going on. And he quickly wanted to go meet the man of God. Why? I think it's because maybe of jealousy. Because he was an old prophet of God in Bethel. And God did not use him to go tell the king the word of God. He used another man in Judah, which was not part of this kingdom at the time. And he came down from Judah into the other tribes and came to approach Jeroboam. And probably this old prophet didn't like that at all. And the same things happen today when you have a man of God that is in contradiction to the Word of God, when he begins to try to take over some other person's ministry or take over some other church or move from the one he's at that God didn't tell him to move to and go to some other one because he thinks he's going to be better off or it's going to be better for him to go over there. And God never instructed that at all. And sometimes we look at that in our own ministries and our own work and say, why is he always blessing that person over here and I'm doing the same thing here for God and I'm being faithful and I'm following God and yet it seems like they're getting all the blessings. And we start comparing ourselves and start getting jealous of the ministries that they're in, thinking, why can't I be a part of that? Why can't I be involved in that? And I kind of have a feeling that since it says he's an old prophet, that he was used of God many times before then, but something changed in his ministry that God did not want to use him, but want to use this other one. Now, we don't know why, but that's God's way. God will pull somebody out and use him instead of somebody else, and we don't know why he does it, but we know it's from God. And because he gave the word of God and everything happened exactly like he said it was happening, we knew and he knew this man was from God. He wasn't lying. And at this time, when Jeroboam was trying to recruit priests and try to change the way people worship and who they worship, this old prophet very easily could have been involved in that group and just followed along because, you know, I'm not going to eat and the king might kill me if I tell him the truth. So why don't I just kind of dumb it down, we say now, and kind of milk toast it, you know, now, and not give him the whole word of God, just give him a little bit of the word of God. And people today, sometimes in the pulpits, are going around telling people that God loves you. And I love that. I love that God loves me. But that's not all the truth. That's just one part of the truth. God not only loves you, he gave his son to die for you, that you will not perish, but have everlasting life. They never get to that last part. They don't want people to repent and get right with God and be convicted of their sin because it might make them feel bad. Well, anytime God calls you a sinner, you're going to feel bad because you thought you were fine before God intervened. And now you know you're not fine. And so this old prophet intervenes probably because of jealousy. And then Judah's prophet, we see, disobeys. Now, you know, the guy comes in him and he tells him, oh, the Lord told me that you're to come to my house and eat. Now, there's a couple reasons why this prophet of Judah may have believed him. One, he was another man of God. He says, I'm just like you. And then maybe because he was sitting under an oak tree, he was probably tired. He's probably a little hungry. He's probably a little thirsty because of that journey. It was a long trip from Judah back down where Jeroboam was and back again. And he probably could have used some water and some sustenance. And so when he told him, oh, well, you're a man of God too. Well, you know, might as well just, you know, I'll go with you then. And then we'll both be happy. You'll be happy because I'm in your house and I'll be happy because I get something to eat and drink and everything. But he disobeys God. He had perfect direction from God of what he's supposed to do. And he was on his way back until he got intervened. Now, it wasn't right for the old prophet to lie to him. But the point of the story is that when we know God's word and someone, even if they say they're a man of God, tells you something contrary to God's word, you're still to believe God's word. That's how we live our life. We don't know who's going to be. We hope that the person that you're listening to is preaching God's word and staying by God and telling you the truth of God. But if they start telling you something that's contrary to God's word, it's time for you to go. There's no reason for you to stay. But I like it here. It's such a big church and it's such a nice church and it got a gift shop and it got all these things over here and they got all these things I love and it's so beautiful when I go over there and everything's fine. I miss the people if I go. But I know he's not telling me the whole truth. I know he's not giving me the gospel. I know it's kind of watered down, milk toast and everything, but I'm all right with that. I like being here. And I kind of figured that this man from Judah was feeling that way. I feel like he was a little hungry. I feel like he was a little thirsty. And I feel like it was easy for him to just compromise and say, well, you know, he said he's from God. God gave him a word, said I'm supposed to go to his house. So who am I supposed to believe, God or this man of God? Always stick with God. I'm not here to tell you anything wrong. My wife corrects me when I do, because I said the other day that Daniel prayed five times and I meant three times. She said, I don't think he prayed five times as well. He prayed a lot. Whatever it was, he prayed a lot. That's the point. And if I mess up something, I give you something, you ought to know the Bible enough to realize, that's not quite right. And if you're concerned about it, come talk to me and we'll hash it out and figure out who's right. We'll look at God's Word. But when it comes down to God, the message is, it's more important for you to obey God than any man. And there's a reason I believe God is telling the church this message today. Because there's some things coming up on the horizon that we've already seen. They're going to come back, and it's going to be different than the first time. It's going to be different than the first time. And we're going to be stuck in that intermediary period about, what do? Obey God or obey man? Do you obey God or do you obey man? But he's a man of God, and he says we should do this or that. Do I obey God or do I obey man? And I believe that's the challenge that we have today. God is warning us, like he did the king. There's some things coming, and you must be found obedient. And the only way you're going to be obedient is to be obedient to God, not obedient to man. Just do what you're told to do. The old prophet used of God here exposes the sin of the man from Judah. Now we think, well, why doesn't it say, you read the rest of that, and this old prophet really was, I believe he was repentant of what he did to this man. We found out he lost his life and it actually came true. And the rest of that story tells us how he took the body and he buried it, and he wanted to be buried with that man of God and so forth. But the point of it is, we don't see that God killed the old man of God because he lied. He could have. We're not to lie either. But it's most important that we obey God. And the man of God who disobeyed God lost his life over it. The man of God who lied didn't lose his life over it. Yet we don't read that he was ever used by God to bring God's word. Because God is not going to use someone who lies to bring God's word, because then you don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But he didn't lose his life. He said, well, he should have died instead of the other guy. No, the other guy disobeyed God. The old prophet lied to the man of God. And don't tell me y'all told me the truth all your life since I've been here. We're not going to go there. But it's most important that we obey God. The prophet from Judah lost his life over disobedience. God's word will always come to pass. God's word will always come to pass. It will never fade away. It will never die off. God's word will be here forever. So our challenge today is be obedient to God first, not to this man or any other man. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to bless us as we stand together. There may be something that God's spoken to your heart about, maybe something that you need to pray about. This is the invitation time that we do that. The altars are open if you'd like to come pray for up front or pray where you're at. But the most important thing is, if God's speaking to your heart about something, we need to get it right. There may be people here or listening online or on sermon audio that may not really know for sure they're saved, that they've been forgiven. There's a lot of words that we use, but God just wants us to be forgiven of our sins. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must have that gift. And the only way we can receive that gift is to receive Christ in our life. So the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what you need to do today. Call upon God. Maybe you're here and you know you're a believer or you know you're saved. But you've been having some struggles this past year and maybe some struggles on the horizon. Now we're going to have to make a decision whether we're going to obey God or obey man. And we need to have that settled in our heart now. What are we going to do when we're approached with those kind of challenges in our life? And give us strength, Lord, to always obey you. That's what we should be praying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we have here today. We ask that you'll bless us, Lord. Bless our invitation time. People may be helped, encouraged, blessed, saved, forgiven. Whatever the need is, that you'll have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray together. Let God have his way.